Isaiah chapter 40, beginning there in verse 28. And quite frankly, the reason that I chose this particular passage is because we're in a battle. And we have a tough enemy. Peter says he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you, he is after you and me. And he is smart, he is shrewd, and he does not hesitate to use low arts of any kind to get us. And so we need the help of God. And I will tell you that in the years that I have been in the Lord's church, there have been times when I have been weary. And I have gone to God for strength. And so Isaiah chapter 40, 28, beginning, he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." And then here's my sermon, verse 29. "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power." Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And so, the battle is only won with the help of Almighty God. And we do have a great and powerful Heavenly Father. And it's already been mentioned during this meeting that God not only names all of the stars, and not only the galaxies, but he calls them all by name. Do you ever think what a vocabulary that would take? Now, I just read the other day, or heard a DVD rather, that Daniel Webster wrote basically the first English dictionary. And he actually spoke 20 different languages. And he entered 70,000 words of his own that he knew. And I've often thought that Adam and Eve had to have quite a vocabulary to name all the animals. But our God is far greater. And let me tell you this tonight, it's not until you and I surrender to God that we can have power. You know, you try to hang on to sin, and the devil makes people think that they're smart, but he's only making fools of us, because he's out to do one thing, and that's to take us to an eternal lake of fire. And I will tell you that several times lately, as I've read the scriptures, God also talks about it being outer darkness. And you know, when you're in pain and you're in trouble and you can't see anything, you're totally helpless. And I just want to say this tonight, that I lived until I was 18 years old, going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and prayer meeting. And I can't ever remember missing church. My folks just said, "We're going to church." So I went along. And I never did resent it then, and I don't resent it now. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad that the Lord gave me that much training, and that God opened my eyes to the fact that I needed to make full surrender. And I want to tell you that you can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting night, and you can be just as lost as any sinner. Because I fully believe that if I had died before I turned my life over to God until I was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins and to receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, I believe that I would have gone out into hell. And I'm thankful tonight that God spared my life. And it's not just us that need to put our trust in God. And when Moses was leading God's people out of the land of Israel, you'll recall that when they came to the Red Sea, what else did they see? They saw Pharaoh's army coming after them. And they started to murmur and to complain. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." God was going to wipe them out. God called Gideon to deliver God's people. And so Gideon didn't think he could do it, but he mustered together 22,000 soldiers. And God said, "That's too many." So he cut it down to 10,000. And God says, that's too many. And in Judges chapter 1, verse 6, it tells us he cut it down to 300 men. And I want you to know that you and I are whipped. Gideon was whipped. Moses was whipped. But with the power of God, we are victorious. And so tonight, I want to talk about this great promise that he gives strength to the weary. And I would like to consider three things tonight. First of all, why does God need to give strength? Well, I'll tell you, how many of us need strength from God? Yes, we do. And you know, I don't know how many of you here were born-again Christians before 1947. How many of you that are here tonight were born-again Christians in 1947? Richard and Thelma. Did I miss somebody? Well, anyway, don't you think Richard's quite an old rock? He's been hanging around quite a while. But I want to tell you something. He hasn't, and I haven't, won the battle yet. Jesus said, be thou faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is on his tour, and he actually writes 2 Corinthians, after he'd been through a very fierce battle. And I want to begin reading in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And are there a lot of people tonight that need comfort? Yes, there are. Going ahead, verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Now, I want to tell you that that's pretty scary when you are in such despair that you think, I'll never live through this. But that's where Paul was And I personally believe it has reference to the great riot that had gone on in Ephesus. And he says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through what? The prayers of many. And I want you to know tonight that you and I need to learn to call on God. You may have never been this despaired, but there may come that day. And so where are you going to look? Well, God gives strength. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Now, how many people labor in prayer for other Christians? When you bow your knees to pray, are there certain people that just come to your mind and you say, oh God, help them, bless them, strengthen them? And that's the way Epaphras was. And as I read the book of Colossians, I believe that Epaphras was converted in Ephesus under the Apostle Paul, and I believe that he was from Colossae, and that he went home and took the gospel message, and now he wants prayers for these people that were won to Christ. So what am I talking about? Everybody needs God's help. You need it, I need it, we all need it. And then Jesus taught on prayer in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, a very familiar passage of Scripture. But Jesus says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. If we had tonight all of the people here that have ever been here in our history, we could not get in this building. But what has happened? A lot of people have fainted and grown weary. And so Jesus said, we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he was willing. Afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yes, Jesus taught us to pray. And I want to just say it over and over tonight, and that is, don't think you can win this battle on your own. You are no match for the devil. But with God's power, we can win. And so, let's walk with God. And Ezra's day of return from Babylonian captivity. And I was going to read Ezra 9, 1 through 4. But, maybe I will. You battle between taking time and then hurrying. And I'm going to read Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. He says, now when these things had been completed, the princess approached me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands according to their abominations, those of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites, for they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves, for their sons, so that the holy race has been intermingled with the peoples of the lands. Indeed, the hands of the princes and the rulers have been foremost in this unfaithfulness. And I want to tell you something tonight. Sometimes we preachers can be the most discouraging and unfaithful of anybody. And we can do things, and older Christians, you can do things that are going to lead other people away from God. And then notice verse 3. When I heard about this matter, I tore my garment and my robe and pulled some of the hair from my head and my beard and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel on account of the unfaithfulness of the exiles gathered to me, and I sat down appalled until the evening offering. I want to ask you a question tonight. How long has it been since you sat down appalled at the mess you've made of your life? And that you said, oh God, be merciful. And I want to tell you that not only do we need mercy, but as I have told the Lord over and over, I need your help. And I want to tell you tonight, you need God's help. And I just want to ask you tonight, how many of you started your day with prayer today? How many of you started yesterday and the day before and the day before that? How many of you started your day with prayer? How many of you stopped and prayed even periodically through the day? And I'm going to tell you this tonight, that there are even times when I am on Bible studies, or when I'm knocking on a door, or I'm making a phone call, that yes, I'm talking, but I'm also talking to God and saying, oh God, I need your help. And I want to tell you tonight, God is a powerful God, and He loves us and He cares for us. But don't go out here and flirt with the devil. And I marvel that Balaam has his name in the Bible so many times. And what did Balak want Balaam to do? He wanted him to curse the Israelites. And he offered him all kinds of gifts. And Balaam said no. So he sent him some more gifts. Well, you know the story. Finally, he said, okay, I'll go. And God said, okay, but you tell him what I said. But as you read the New Testament and link this all together, I believe that Balaam taught Balak, if you want to destroy God's people, just get them to marry your ungodly daughters and God will curse them. And that's exactly what happened. And so I want you to know tonight that don't you marry out of the Lord. And I've had people tell me, well, 2 Corinthians 6:14 doesn't talk about marriage. I want to tell you something. 2 Corinthians 6:14 covers a lot of things, but it also covers marriage. It's a pretty close relationship between a man and his wife. Second part of my message tonight is that Christ promises us power. You know, when Jesus arose from the dead, He came to His apostles. And in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is a great promise. And you know, many a time we've been on a Bible study, and after we've come home, my wife said, Don, didn't you see that they were trying to trap you? I said, yeah, I saw it. But I ignored it. And I just prayed, oh God, give me strength to answer the way I should. And I want to tell you that there's power with God. And I feel sorry for people that don't know what it's like to come before the throne of God and pour their hearts out to Him. Jesus spent the whole night in prayer before He chose His 12 apostles. And Jesus' life was filled with prayer. And then I could go back to the Old Testament, and Elijah was a great man of God, but he preached against Ahab and Jezebel. And I tell you, Jezebel said, "I'm going to get you." Even after he'd killed the 400 prophets of Baal. And so I want you to know tonight that even though we win victories, the devil isn't through. And I'm really glad you're here tonight, because I'm a firm believer that God gives strength. And God can do things that you and I look at and say, it can never be done. But all things are possible with God. But don't think you're smart enough to figure it all out on your own. Or even to do it on your own. Third part of my message tonight is Peter's response on the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached his sermon to the very people that had crucified our Lord, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayer." And those are the things that you and I need in our lives. I still remember the day that I walked down the aisle to confess my faith in Christ before men. And as I did, I was determined that I would never give up, that I would never quit. And God has given me His Holy Spirit, like Peter promised in Acts 2:38. And when I received the forgiveness of my sins, I had a joy that I'd never known. And then when I received the Holy Spirit, at the time I was baptized, I received power to be true to my God. And that promise is for you and for all of us. And I soon began to rely on Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16 quite heavily, because I had determined I'm not going to sin anymore. But I did. I failed, because none of us can live totally sinless. And in Hebrews 4:15 it says, since then we have, verse 14, for since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. There are going to be a lot of things that you and I are going to face. And we may fall beneath the load. But God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. And I want to tell you that some churches today become angry when you preach the truth. And in fact, I've had a lot of things happen in my life, and I've had people converted through the preaching of the Word of God, but I've also had people angry because I preached against sin. And I've had churches that have closed their doors to me. And I heard by the grapevine from some of them that they said, if we have that kind of preaching, we won't have as many people coming to church. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm not interested in seeing how big of a church I can build. I'm here tonight to try to help people save their souls and get right with God and go to heaven. Because I'm a dying man, and death has been all around me all of my life, starting with my brother that was killed probably 7 months after I was converted. And death has never lost its vivid image in my mind. And now my sister had a stroke April 1. And, you know, she's getting worse. And the medical people are trying to help, but there's only so much they can do. And you and I are going to face death, and I want to be ready to meet God. Because I want to tell you, nothing else matters. And I've had people say that if you preach like that, you're going to drive people away. Now, I don't want to drive people away, but I'm here to tell you tonight that God only has one plan. And you and I better bend our hearts instead of trying to bend the book. Because the book doesn't bend. And, you know, I can't help thinking of a case where that there was a family in a church where I was preaching many years back. And they had developed a very arrogant, rebellious attitude. And on a Saturday night, I prayed, "Oh God, give these people an open heart and help them to yield their lives." And on Sunday morning, when I stood up to preach, and I noticed at first there was resistance, and then I saw their attitude begin to change. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." And I want to tell you that people will try to make you angry. I mean, they will do things to you that deserve your anger. But God said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." And so I want you to know tonight that we need to realize that we need God's help. And you know, as I studied this material and studied Isaiah's life, and the commentaries say that they actually think that Isaiah was sawed in two inside of a tree. And if that's true, then Hebrews 11 may have reference to Isaiah, because he talks about some were sawed in two. And that's not easy. And I don't know what's going to happen to me before I die, and I don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know. But there's one thing I do know, and that is I know that only God can go with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And I know that His blood will cleanse me and it will cleanse you. But unless we repent, we will all perish. And it doesn't matter who wins an argument. It doesn't matter who wins a battle. I want you to know tonight, it matters who has allowed God's power to change your heart, change your life. And I appeal to all of you tonight to walk with God. And yes, my wife likes to tell the story how that when I asked her to go with me, and that I told her, "If you go with me, you don't go with anyone else." And she said, "Well, I have a date." And I said, "That's up to you." And I prayed because I did not want to marry unless God was with me. And I want to tell you tonight, you need to make sure you marry in the Lord and that you walk with God. And I want you to know tonight we all need strength. I need strength. I need mercy. And I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ promised that He would give us power. And Peter promised that we would have power to overcome. And so tonight, I want you to think about your condition. You might say to me, "Preacher, you're preaching to the choir." That doesn't bother me one bit. Preach to the choir. Because I want to tell you that the devil can get into the heart of any one of us. I look at the 12 apostles, and I see them turn and forsake the Lord at His crucifixion. And they were strong. And I just want you to know tonight, you and I are not as strong as we think we are. And so let's walk with God, and let's don't be haughty. Let's don't be running around threatening and talking big and all that nonsense. Let's realize we have a mighty, powerful God. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you're in this audience tonight and you've never been born again, I encourage you tonight to make a decision to repent of your sins and to be immersed into Christ. And if you have, you're not walking with the Lord like you should, I appeal to you tonight to turn back to God and don't let anything keep you from serving the Lord. If you need to make a commitment, I appeal to you to do it while we stand and sing number 642.